So hello, everybody, and welcome to, is this week six already of The Sweet Spot? Holy cow, time really flies when you're having a good time. Week six, which is actually the last week of our metabolic reset for those of you who started all at the same time. For those of you who started earlier or later, we're a little bit off on that by that. But I'm excited to have you here, and I'm excited for finishing this week for really addressing some of the questions. Now we're past that 17 to 21 day range, and so really some of the questions that come up about why am I not this or why am I not that, why are my numbers this way or that way, are going to make sense. Because for some of you, like we said last week, you guys adapt really quickly. Within 3 days, your glucose numbers are perfect and everything's really good. And for some of you, it's going to take the full 17 to 21 days, and we're still going to need to be looking at it more deeply. I do want to say this, and I'm going to quote this from Jane Boltz. You probably have seen her post in the Sweet Spot, because she said, you know, I came in here because what I wanted to do was lose belly fat. And she said, and the belly fat was the last thing to change. She goes, when I look at it, my energy's better. My fatty liver, you know, this pain in my liver is gone. Certain other symptoms she was having that weren't as high a priority as the belly fat had been resolving. And so she said, basically, you know, she stuck with it. And then the belly fat came down and she lost all her weight. And she's, you know, in her teenage clothes now, and it works. But we all have to trust your body process and trust this process. We're going to help you to tailor it to your individual needs. Some of you are going to need more than 30 days, right? If you started out with more than, I would say if you started out with more than 10 to 15 pounds to drop, there's no way you're going to physiologically, you can't let go of that in a month, right? If you've started out with fibromyalgia of, you know, 30 years duration after 30 years of body abuse, kind of like I did, but I wasn't quite 30, but it was 27 years of body abuse, then things are going to take a little bit longer to shift. And it's all biochemistry and genetics, and there's so many things that play in to how we shift. So this week I want to address that, but I also want to address the importance of, it's not just about the diet. We've been working over the last few weeks on the other factors. The first week we worked on the diet. The prep weeks, we were working on diet. Well, prep weeks, we were telling you not to change anything. First week, we worked a lot on the diet. Now we've added some other factors that are just as important, and for some of you, more important, right? For me, the diet, my diet wasn't the issue. My sleep problems were the issue. For other people, it's the stress problems. So I'm going to ask you to do, whenever you have a reading that's wacky, like consistently, I don't mean one reading that's wacky. We can't tell. What does one reading mean? It could be just random. But if you're seeing consistent results that are wacky or not what you want, I want you to go through in your mind your checklist. That's the first thing. So, and you can write this down too. Okay, so let's look at the non-food pieces. How much sleep did I get last night? Was it straight sleep or was it interrupted sleep? For those of you who are coming into this program with decades or even years of interrupted sleep, it's going to take longer to get this under control. The sleep is critical. That's what we're working on this week. I gave you a lot of good resources on sleep. Second, how many bursts am I doing every day? Am I doing one burst a day, one burst every other day? Am I doing 8 bursts a day, right? And if I'm doing less than 4 bursts a day, let's get it up to 4. If you're doing less than 8, get it up to 8, right? The ideal is somewhere between 4 and 8, but ask yourself that question. I got my little burst thing there, but I don't necessarily do it every day anymore because I got out of that habit, and it makes a huge difference. Stress, this is the big one. I ask people, oh, okay, how many times a day are you doing heart math? Are you doing your quick coherence? Are you just stopping and breathing? And let's just do that right now. Stop whatever you're doing and just put your hands over your heart and we're going to do one deep breath. And on that breath, you're going to just think about something or someone you appreciate. So right now. Then notice how that feels in your body. Doesn't it feel different? Don't you suddenly get this different feeling? Are you doing that throughout the day? Are you doing that at least 5 times a day? Are you doing it before you eat your meal? Right? Are you stopping before you eat your meal? Are you scarfing your meal down? I'm hungry. I hope this meal doesn't raise my sugar. Or are you stopping, appreciating, looking at the colors of the meal, looking at the textures and being appreciative that you have this beautiful meal on your plate and you get to put that in your body? Are you doing that? So these non-food things tend to be harder sometimes than the food things, right? Because we have to break long-standing patterns of shoveling food in and eating at our desks and eating while listening to the news and other things that prevent the food from actually being metabolized correctly. So I want you to ask these questions. How is my sleep? How is my stress levels? How many times am I doing the heart math? How often am I doing my bursts? And some people say, well, I can't do bursts because my knees hurt. There's so many ways to do bursts. You can sit in a chair and you can just raise your arms up and down, right? Do shoulder shrugs for a few minutes or 30 seconds, right? There's so many ways to do it, right? We want to find creative ways. And if you don't know of creative ways and you do have physical limitations, I'd say find a trainer, a personal trainer that can work with you. In one session, they can help you to turn this around. If you're the kind that needs ongoing, I personally work with a personal trainer on Zoom every week, sometimes 2 or 3 times a week. And I've been doing that for a good year and a half now, maybe longer, right? And before that, I was working with a trainer in person. Actually, it was probably 2.5 years that I've been doing that on the Zoom. And before that, I was working with a personal trainer who came to my house. She had some health issues, wasn't able to do it anymore. And so I moved to doing it on Zoom. Why? Because I know that without that support, I'm not going to lift the heavy weights. I'm not going to push myself beyond like what I know I can do because I'm done. I'm tired. I got work to do. So what is it? Be realistic with yourself. I know my friend, my trainer, Maria Horseman, she's in the sweet spot. She's been offering, she's offering right now a program and she has a free week. Go and do it. And other than that, it's like $20 a week or something to get training. She'll help you with that. Do one session with her if you need it to help to figure out what the exercises you can do within your own limitations. It's really, really important. Okay, so those are the three things. And then the last one to ask yourself about realistically, how am I timing my meals? Am I actually giving my body that 4 to 6 hours between food to allow it to digest, to allow the sugars to come back down? And I found myself on certain days, I'm like, oh, I'm so hungry. It's 4 o'clock. I haven't eaten yet. And I have one meal that day. One continuous meal from 4 o'clock until 8 o'clock. That's not the way the body is designed. It's not like, oh, let me eat. Oh, let me do something. Oh, I'm still hungry. Eat again. We keep turning on and off the digestion, up and down with the glucose and the insulin. So realistically, those are the hard parts. Those are the parts that take the most discipline. And then, of course, the food and eliminating the foods that you've been sensitive to. So I want you to see that it's not just about the food. And I want you to be really cognizant of the other factors. And when you question, why did that happen? Sometimes it's really obvious. I just got off the phone with my sister who was, you know, giving me a hard time about something and got down and then I ate my meal. And why did that lettuce and cucumber and avocado make my sugar go up that time? Because of the stress. Does that make sense? Right? This is really important to ask yourself, to empower yourself to move forward. For those of you who find when we go through the metabolic reset recovery or transition next week, and we'll get you materials on that on Friday, is that you're not ready. You don't pass the criteria of being ready to just start reintroducing stuff, right? And then you need more support. We're going to offer for the first time ever some extra ongoing support called Stay in Your Sweet Spot. And we're going to go through some more advanced stuff on what might you need in a more advanced nutritional supplementation, what might you need in, you know, some more advanced sleep strategies and herbs and things like that. So stay tuned. We'll give you more of that. So you're going to get information at the end of this week on the transition, right? What do you do, right? What do you do to transition from metabolic reset? All right. So stay tuned for all that. So questions, the other thing is, I went through the questions that Angelica had put in a folder, and hopefully she's going to do the same. If we have questions we don't get to today, then I'm going to lump them together. And I did a Facebook Live on Saturday. So Angelica, if you could make sure that Francis downloads that, or whoever it is that's doing that, downloads that and puts that on the site for those who aren't on Facebook. It was a last minute. I was going to just do a recording and put it up. And I thought, I'll just go live. There might be some people who come on live. And I did that on Saturday, I think. Saturday late afternoon or mid afternoon. Yeah, late afternoon, I think it was. So hopefully. So we'll go through these questions. And if there's any questions that are left over at the end of this, I want to get them. I want to get to it maybe on Wednesday, create either a video or do a Facebook Live and share answers to the additional stuff, because I don't want us to leave too many questions hanging. So that's it, Angelica.
Okay.
Thank you to Angelica for keeping me, she does such a great job of just keeping me focused.
I know your time is precious, so I want to make sure we get the most out of it. Okay, so first question is from Carol Clevenger. I was wondering if glucosamine chondroitin, I think that's how you say it, is a good thing to take during this reset. I've taken it for years, but I've read it can increase blood sugar.
Yeah, so I think the only way to know that is to test, is to just have a meal that's a normal meal and have the chondroitin with it and have the meal without it and see if it raises your sugar. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Then it's great to take. And, you know, and it's great for joints and all that. So, yeah, I would test it.
Perfect. Okay. From Leah, I have a couple numbers, leptin, et cetera. Also, hemoglobin A1C reading was okay, yet the blood sugar is off. And is 23andMe a finger prick or blood draw?
23andMe is a cheek swab, or it's a saliva, it's a spit. So you spit into a vial. That's all it is. So no finger prick or anything like that. And what was the other question about? The numbers are...
She said she had a few numbers in mind that she wanted to kind of troubleshoot. She said hemoglobin A1C is okay, but the blood sugar is off. So I think we need a little more detail to see what's off, Leah, if you could.
Yeah, so A1C is a 3-month average, 3 months. So if you guys do an A1C at the beginning of this, I recommend you don't redo it for 3 months from the first one to the next one, because it's going to be an average over the 3 months.
Sorry, Dr. Rita Marie, I didn't want to butt in there. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I wanted to ask in the other group, but you were obviously really, there was loads of questions in there and I didn't quite get it. I've had somebody ask me, and I just can't quite get my head around it.
I'm going to stop you right there. And we're going to have to hold that, put it in the INE Facebook group, and we'll answer it there, because I want to keep like a really strict, this program is to ask questions about you. The IRSPT, for those of you in that too, that's where you can ask questions about other people.
Okay. So okay. I had a 16-hour fast, and I've got some results back on insulin, which came in at 4.8, which was okay.
Yeah.
Glucose came in at 96.2, and the range was 70 to 100. So that's
high. I mean, but here's the thing: when you go to the lab, you are in this artificial situation. Yes. So what I recommend, if you want to know how well the lab compares to your own glucose marker, your meter, then you test it before and after you go into the lab. Right.
Yes.
Sometimes people have this horrific time with the phlebotomist is poking around and they're stressed out, or just the idea of being in a lab throws it off because the glucose goes up. So if you have one reading in a lab that's high, but the rest of your readings when you're doing it yourself are okay, then I would go with that. I would go with that but I would definitely, anybody that goes to get tested in the lab, test it before you go into the office, like sitting in the car, test your glucose, right? Then you go in, you get it taken, and then like immediately take it. Like even before you leave there, you could even say to the phlebotomist, oh, I just want to check to see if my home glucose meter works well. I'm going to take it right now. And so you just take the glucose right then and there. And then when you get the results back, you'll know how they compare. I know we've had people do that. And with the Keto Mojo, they were really close, like within 3 to 5 points off.
Okay. Yeah, no, I appreciate what you've just said and totally understand that. I think it was just because it gave me leptin as well, and I didn't, so the leptin came out at 7.5. Does that sound?
I don't know the leptin ranges because I rarely will measure it. What's the range that it's supposed to be in?
it said 4 to 39 and mine was 7.5.
Okay. So it's likely that you don't have, you're not overproducing leptin and causing leptin resistance, but leptin has a cycle throughout the day. Unlike insulin is controlled by the food you eat and the blood sugar levels, whereas leptin has, it'll raise after certain times, but it will, it also has a 24 hour cycle. So depending on when you took it, like it should be lower in the morning. It should be peaking right around dinner time, right before dinner or right after dinner should peak. And then it starts to come down. So it's hard to say, but I don't usually look at leptin on blood tests.
Okay. And then, okay. It was just that when I had this back, because it's got adiponectin ratio and it's quite in detail. It apparently it showed that I had been insulin resistant for quite some time over this 2 week marker. Okay. So it was just interesting to see if you thought again it was a decent range or whether or not it was just,
you know what, put it in the this is beyond the scope of this group, but put it in the practitioner group and we'll look at it there.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I have a question about myself, if I may.
Sure.
I this is India. I just started, as you know, and I got myself a Mojo meter. And my doctor, when I had my last test last year sometime, he said, he's a functional doctor, and he said, well, your blood sugar is a little high. And it was totally in the parameters, but now I'm taking my own sugar, and it is the lowest it was 90 in the morning. This mm-hmm. morning it was 102. I have said no to on the form with all the questions, if you wake up at night, if it's inherited, if it's sugar cravings, no, everything is no. I'm 5'10 plus, I weigh 142 pounds. And I have never had, nothing in my family ever had diabetes or anything. But, and then when I eat, I even tried with an ice cream. And then it went up to 117. It's like, so what does that mean?
Okay, so you're saying you're just starting. So I want you need to get 5 days of measures. You need to be tracking all your meals and seeing if there's any patterns to this. And also, what is it right before you go to bed versus when you get up? So we want to know, is it going up during the night or is it starting lower during there and then going up? Those are the numbers you need to start collecting. Go to the week one stuff and just follow through all that stuff and find your peak.
Okay, I have to measure before and after each meal also?
Yeah, go to the glucose testing page. You'll get that. Yes?
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, sometimes it's just little simple things that we don't notice. And it's great that you had a doctor that pointed it out early on because usually they don't. So that's good. All right. So Angelica.
Thank you. And just wanted to remind everybody, if you have questions, we're going to go in the order that they're received from Facebook and the chat. So if you have a question, put it in the chat and we will add it to our document. So, you know,
And then we'll open up your line. So
exactly. When your question is read out loud, then we can, you're invited to come on online. Okay. So Ahlam, posted a question in Facebook and I don't think she's with us today. If you are Ahlam, please feel free to come on board. Cause this is more of a case review type of question. So she is in a holy month of Ramadan, fasting for 15 hours every day. That's the tradition. And then she breaks her fast on a sweet spot compliant, metabolic reset compliant meal. Now she's wondering why her numbers aren't really budging. She's still waking up with fasting blood sugars and she says she's lost a kilo, but she's had no improvement with brain fog or memory. Now her father, he is 78 years old. He's following the program, the meal plan, and he's having really great success. Yeah. So she is concerned about her own progress. And she also noted that she's pretty much only having the one meal a day. She does have a little bit of water and chia seeds
before the fast. She's got,
yeah.
Here's the thing. We're all metabolically different, right? So it's her dad. So you may not have, you may have similar genetics, but maybe not. The half you got from your mom could be affecting this, but there may be some other imbalance going on. That's creating an issue with you. Maybe it's a parasite. Maybe it's a microbiome imbalance. Maybe your adrenals are messed up and his aren't. Maybe you're overproducing cortisol. Maybe you're in a hyper adrenal state and that hyper, cortisol is going to cause you to have higher glucose and store fat. So it's really a matter of, so here's the deal. We're going to give you in the next week, is it the next week or the next week is how to transition. And the week after that is like, we're going to look at, we're going to give you questionnaires to fill out that will give you an indication of what other imbalances may lie in your body. Right? That's why some people have great results because this is it, right? The lady, Beatrice, I don't know if she's on today, but Beatrice started the program 110 pounds overweight, 110 pounds with fasting glucose, like 111 or 112 or something like that. And she'd been on medication for Hashimoto's for 50 years when she started. She had was on cortisone, hydrocortisone for what they call panhypopituitary, and her pituitary was shutting down. And she was on a couple of other meds. She started this, and within, she just started, the weight started just falling off of her. She followed it to a T. She did the meditation piece. She was a meditation instructor. She did the burst. She did all the pieces. And within 4 to 5 months, went back to the doctor. Hashimoto's is gone. The pituitary issue is gone. The adrenals are working fine, right? She hit it with this program, right? Not everybody has, she, you know, some other hidden, she didn't have a parasite in her body. She didn't have some other things, but she also followed it to a T. She didn't say, well, you know, that stress piece, I don't need to follow that. I'm a meditation instructor and I meditate, you know, every morning. She didn't say any of that. She just followed all the pieces, but she also didn't have other things going on, right? We've had other people who follow that exactly. And we have to dig deeper. And sometimes that's where you do need a private coach to sit and look at you or look at all your labs and dig deeper. And we offer that if you want to get set up with that. But also we're going to take you through and you're going to get to see on paper what else might be going on that's contributing to this. So again, Ramadan, she's fasting. Maybe you're not a good candidate for long fasts, right? Maybe from a female's point of view, you need to have more variation, right? We say for a lot of women that to have the metabolic flexibility, sometimes you do like intermittent fasting 5 days a week and 2 days a week, you have a feasting day, not M&Ms and ice cream and chocolate or any of that stuff, but where you're having a higher carb whole foods carbs. And you just do that for 2 days a week to keep the body from getting into this rut. So those are all the reasons that there's a lot of possibilities there. Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Alrighty. This is another question from Ahlam. After how many minutes can I test my blood sugar post burst training?
You test it right away. And then I would treat it like a meal. You know what I mean? I would treat a burst training thing like a meal because it kind of is. Like your body's either eating up the sugar in the blood or it's producing more sugar from glycogen. So let's just see how that goes. So I would just treat it like a meal. Yeah.
Thank you. Federica, today I've been struggling to stay strict. I have a strong desire for bread on day 22 of metabolic reset. Should I add more chromium for cravings?
It depends on how much you're taking. I would say that maybe you're not getting enough calories and your body's going back to it. Maybe there's an emotional component. I've been 22 days without my bread and I want some, by George. Maybe there's some other stress in your life, like emotional eating and that self-sabotage. So what I would do, if I were you, I would be looking at what can I do to satisfy that craving without compromising my thing. The company called Chocolatree has these breads that they make. They're raw breads that are made with veggies and nuts and seeds. And they have them on onion bread and jalapeno bread. And they're phenomenal. There are other things like that. You know, there's chia crackers, whatever. If you have a dehydrator, I would throw a bunch of stuff together and make a bread that we have some bread recipes in the guide. If you don't have a dehydrator, try that in a very low oven and try to satisfy that, right? Yeah, that happens. It just happens. And we don't know exactly why, but don't compromise it now, please. Yeah. You've worked really hard to get to 22 days.
Okay. Barbara, my question is about bleeding gums. My husband has had very sensitive teeth on the right side for 1 week and then it went away. He thinks it's from the lemon water. Now he's bleeding gums on the same side. What does he need? Is this detox?
I mean, it could be bioflavonoids, maybe vitamin C bioflavonoid. I would cut it out for sure for now. Cut out the lemon water. See if he has the same effect with say apple cider vinegar. Is it acidic? Is it this? The tissue was already kind of compromised and weak, and the extra acid is causing a problem. So it could be any of that stuff. When something happens, whether I told you to do it or not, whether it's in the meal plan or not, and you have something and it causes what you perceive that it causes a negative effect, stop it. Stay away from it for a week and then very gently introduce it to see if it was that or if it was something else.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Katie, if we measure blood sugar 1 and 1.5 hours after, then the burst exercises should be done before we measure. How long before it to have an effect?
So you're talking about with relationship to food? You know, it's hard to like isolate every little thing. You know what I'm saying? So we can't really say, okay, I'm going to separate the food from the exercise from that. But I'm not sure what you're trying. Is that Kate? Where is Kate? I saw her here a little while ago. Oh, can you open up your line, Kate?
Katie?
Is it Kate Thomas?
No, this is Katie.
Oh, different Kate. Okay, Katie. Okay, D versus Kate.
Yes.
All right. Is she there?
Yes. Yeah, she's here. Katie, I'm going to unmute you.
Yeah, ask me the question that I want to get what you're trying to get at.
Sorry, Angelica, could you read the question again? Because I'm not sure which question you asked right now.
You asked if we measure blood sugar 1 and 1.5 hours after, period.
Oh, yeah, actually, the question is about the burst exercises that we should do. It was mentioned 1 hour after eating, 2 hours after meeting in the handbook would be good. But my question was, let's say we should measure 1 hour after if we don't have consistent, like the peak time known. If I do the measure 1 hour after I was eating, but also recommended to do the burst after 1 hour after eating. So which one should I do first? And how long, if I do a burst, how many minutes would it take to have the effect? Like take the blood sugar down or something like this?
Great, this is a good question. And it's also, we're getting down into too granular set of questions. So really, if you're gonna eat your meal, mm-hmm. and you're going to do a burst, it's probably a good idea to wait an hour before you do your burst, you know, and then unless it goes really high and you're trying to get it lower, then you can do your burst sooner. So I would just say, use the meal as your starting point, measure like you would to see where it goes. And then curiosity, oh, I inserted a burst here. Let's see if the burst changes the trajectory of my glucose in this moment. So you test the burst, you test right after it, you can test an hour, 15 minutes, but I would continue to just track and test and observe and write. And then you're not gonna analyze it after one time because it can vary, you know? So you're gonna analyze it based on like a trend, a pattern. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I also get from the answer that the results might vary. If it's, let's say I do it 15 minutes before before the hour comes, it might work for me, but for some people it might be too late or they would need it to be.
You mean you're trying to catch your peak and you're thinking that it might change when your peak is? Maybe I'm totally misunderstanding your question.
No, The burst. It's for the body to use the glucose and the blood sugar to be coming down, to get it lower. So if I want,
Yeah. So for some people, well, a burst will help bring the sugar down. For other people, it won't. It just depends on you. So I would just test it the way you've been testing. Mark in that you've had a burst at this time and then see if you see a pattern.
So, but if it, for some people, it will get the blood sugar down. For some other people, not so. The benefit of the burst is just to get also the physical exercise in.
To get the physical exercise, but it helps to increase a hormone called growth hormone,
which we can't measure.
Right. Mm-hmm. We just know that it's a good thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be something we can overtly measure. Unfortunately, I wish we had some kind of Star Trek device that we could just measure everything and totally get it. Like one of these little things that's continuous. And then you just go in and it says, oh, look at what your glucose is doing. And would it look at what your growth hormone's doing, you know, but we don't have that. So we do the best we can with the tools we have. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you. I know. I wish we have. I think with time we will have a Star Trek device that tells us all of our biometrics all of the time.
I know. It'd be great. I love having my little thing. I love having it. And I really tell the difference between eating too late. And somebody had asked that. Someone had asked that in the questions. I think it was on Facebook. Like on days when I eat, I have my last meal at a certain time. Whatever it was, 5 to 6 or 6 to 7, whatever. But if I have the same later and I still have my 3-4 hours, I have a different fasting glucose. Yes, it has to do with the length of the fast. And so your body's very sensitive, and which says to me that you would probably be a good candidate for doing more of the intermittent fasting on an intermittent basis. This is what intermittent fasting means. So we have a whole document on it that we'll do in the advanced course. But when you... when you think about intermittent fasting, it's truly intermittent, right? So when I first learned about intermittent fasting, it was talked about with doing like 1 day or 2 days a week, non-consecutive days that you fasted for 24 hours, meaning you had dinner one day and then you had dinner again the next day, or you had lunch one day and then you had lunch again the next day, or breakfast one day and then breakfast again the next day, whatever your choice is and whatever works best for your particular chemistry. That's how I first learned it, and I started doing it. I loved it. I thought it was great. And non-consecutive days to make it intermittent, so your body doesn't get, the metabolism doesn't get slowed down as a result. And then people started talking about what I don't even call it intermittent fasting. I think it's time-restricted eating, is like that window. So we just extend our overnight fast instead of it being 12 hours, like you have your last meal and finish at 7 and then you have breakfast at 7 in the morning. You just extend that a little longer. Either by having the dinner earlier or the breakfast later. And now people are doing that like every single day. And for some people that works. For other people, it doesn't, right? So you have to decide what works best for you. And the only way to do it is to experiment and be able to test your glucose to figure out what works best for you. Some people do one meal a day. I've read studies that the one meal a day actually with the same number of calories as two meals a day causes less weight loss and more weight gain, because you're eating so much at one meal to make up the calories that meal causes a massive increase in glucose and insulin, even if it's not high glycemic foods, because it's the volume of that. So you have to find out what works best for you. My take is that it's probably two meals a day for many people. It's probably three meals a day for many. For most, the 5-meal-a-day plan doesn't work. It just packs on the pounds. Right. But for some, it does. People who are very thin and have a very high metabolic rate, having 4 or 5 meals a day with small snack to keep the body from burning its own fat stores is important. Right. That's a small percentage of the population, but it's true. So that's why we're really into experimenting and observing and figuring out what works best for you.
Love it. I love the conversation about fasting. I heard a great tip that it's best to save your fasting days if you're only doing a few days a week for your busiest days. Like for me right now, I decided intermittent fast because I have so many meetings, and that makes it easier for me.
Yeah, because you're not really, like the kitchen isn't, I can't go eat right now.
Yeah,
I've got meeting after meeting after meeting, so I can't. Yeah, I find the same thing. Weekends are harder.
I know. Nothing worse than sitting at home and fasting. Okay, so let's go back up to the top. Marsha asked, is water used for soups and smoothies counted in our daily hydration? And if not, why not?
No. I mean, if you're eating a lot of soups and smoothies and that's mostly what you're eating, that's different. But if you're also eating foods that are drier, it just doesn't count. Our body needs liquid. The body sweats away liquid. And it's less efficient at pulling in the liquid from the food than it is if you just give it the liquid. I mean, juices, cheese, those kinds of things. Juices might, you know, depending, like if you're just doing a juice cleanse and you're drinking like eight ounce glasses of juice every day, it's hard to add an extra bunch of glasses of water. But you find out. The way to tell if you're hydrated well enough and or not is look at your pee. If your pee is bright and dark, you're not drinking enough. If your pee is like super clear, you might be drinking a little too much. It should have like a little tinge. But although throughout the day, my pee is probably perfectly clear. So you really look at your first morning, for your first morning pee. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Great. All right. Kate Thomas, what about the intermittent fasting recommendation by Dr. Dan Pompa, who says that the fasting window, after fasting, you have a feasting window that can last 6 hours. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that... you have to find what works for you. Pompa also talks about metabolic flexibility, and he talks about not doing it every day is to have, you know, he calls it the 3-2-3-3-1 or the 3-2-2 or something where you're having fasting days, you're having keto type days, and then you're having the feast days. So it's all a matter of finding the best balance that works for you. You know, that 6 hours, sometimes it's hard, right? You may find that if you're just eating solid for 6 hours, it doesn't work for you. It doesn't work for me. Don't work for me at all. I need to have discrete meal. I have my one meal. It's what yesterday my blood sugars were like so perfect. And I had pizza and I had cheesecake. I'm saying, you know, this approved stuff. My husband made it for me for Mother's Day. But I was full and I had my dessert and then I was fine. And my blood sugar stayed really steady. Whereas on days when I'm working all day and then I suddenly find myself at 6 or 7 and I have to eat, or sometimes it's 8 o'clock by the time I finish meetings and then I eat and then I'm like trying to make up for it. Ugh, not good. Not good. So we just have to experiment and find what works the best for you. It's trial and error. There's no one thing. There's no one diet that fits everybody. We're all metabolically different based on genetics, based on history, based on exposures, based on stress levels. And it's just like experimenting and finding what works perfectly for you. I just have a real big problem with people saying this is the best diet for humans and everybody should follow it and being so adamant about it. There's some people I love. They're great researchers, but they're so freaking dogmatic. It drives me crazy, right? Like, boo. No, it has to be whole food, plant-based diet, 100%. That's it for everybody. Lots of grains, lots of beans. And I'm like, it doesn't work for a lot of people, right? It doesn't work. And low fat diet, low fat, low fat, low fat. It doesn't work for a lot of people, right? High fat doesn't work. We had somebody on here last week. She was on our NEPT call and she said she and her husband doing the sweet spot together. And she was doing great. And the extra fat didn't bother her at all. It was really great. She was losing weight. She was feeling great. Her husband, he's very thin. He was losing more weight. He couldn't eat enough. The fat, he had to eat so much fat, it was bothering him. He switched to more of a plant-based whole foods, higher fruit and higher whole non-gluten grains. That worked for him, right? Two people in the same family and one works for one works for the other. Makes for fun mealtimes, but you have to find out what works for you.
Absolutely. Alrighty, back up to the top here. So many questions that come in. Okay, Tawny, what's your advice on alkaline water and molecular hydrogen water?
Okay, so there's a lot of people who swear by alkaline water. Here's the thing. If you're gonna do it, don't ever do it with food. Because your stomach needs to be acidic. There are people out there who say, alkaline, that's a myth. It's science. We have acid that's produced, hydrochloric acid produced in the stomach. It splits the pepsin. It turns pepsin into pepsinogen into pepsin. Pepsin then digests protein. This is a little more advanced than maybe you want to hear, but the geeky ones among you will go, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then it also helps to pull the minerals away from their binders, you know, whether it's a malate or a citrate or whatever. And it helps with that. If you're taking alkaline water with your meal, you are decreasing your stomach acid, right? You're decreasing your stomach acid, not a good thing. And you're going to find you're going to have some problems, right? So does alkaline water have, you know, is it the God's gift to mankind? I don't know. I think it's the gift to people who sell alkaline water machines because they cost like $3,000 or $4,000. Right? Why can't we just take the water? Ideally, you go to a spring and you drink water. We don't have that. You're not going to go to a spring in your neighborhood and thing. I know people who live in Austin and they drive up, you know, every few months to Arkansas to some springs there, and they bring these big bottles, and it's a lot of work. I don't have the time or the inclination in my life to do that. So I take my water from the tap. I run it through a reverse osmosis filter that has triple hydration with pulling out all the garbage, and then I run it through. Do I need it to be active and moving? Yeah, I can do that, and I can swirl it, and I can use one of those little wands that have metals or minerals in them, and you can do that. You can add little drops, like homeopathic drops, like rehydration drops, or you can add crystal minerals or something, like what's that guy's name, Flanagan, has produced that actually helped to put some of that spin back in the water so that it is kind of like a spring. Like, we have to do what we have to do, right? We can't always do what's perfect. And if we stress ourselves out trying to do what's perfect, the stress is hurting us more than the lack of perfection, right? So we just have to do what we can do. Yeah, don't drink tap water with the chlorine and the fluoride and who knows what else is in it. Don't do that. Clean your water, whether you should do a distiller or a reverse osmosis or an alkaline water filter. Find what works for you, what makes the most sense, and do it. That's my take on water. Just make sure it's clean.
Thank you. Martha asks for tips on traveling, not having a blender, food processor, and how to maintain the metabolic reset plan. She has to pre-prepare and pack.
Are you traveling right now? Is this a theoretical?
It'll be in like a week. Yeah, in a week.
Yeah. So here's the thing: if you're traveling by car, you bring a blender. You get a thing. Otherwise, you eat whole fresh foods, right? You get powders if you want greens. You can get some powders. It depends on what's going on. Personally, if I'm going to stay in a hotel and I'm going to be there a while and have a refrigerator, I'll just do a non-carry-on suitcase and I take a blender with me. I've done that when my kids were little. I did that all the time. Now I'm kind of like, I don't want to deal with carry-on. You can't put it in a carry-on. So I will carry though with me jars that I can put stuff in. When I get to where I'm going, I go to the store and I get some of the juices. I make juice with chia seeds, easy to take. So the travel's pretty easy when you know how to prepare for it.
Thank you. Okay, Betty, I feel cold very often throughout the day. What could it be? Is this normal during the reset?
You feel cold?
It's cold.
Cold. Okay, so there'd be a lot of questions to ask about what's going on with your thyroid. If you were borderline thyroid or you have thyroid receptor issues, it could be that some of your nutrients are going down. We need B6, B12, and folate to keep our homocysteine levels good. High homocysteine can affect thyroid receptors, which could give you that feeling of cold. If you're not eating enough and you're underweight, your metabolism isn't being fed, that could be it. So I don't have enough information to know why. But when we do the little questionnaires, it would be looking at which other organs and glands might be out of balance to cause that. Okay.
Thank you. Oralee, I am doing my best to keep up, but I realize I skipped something, so I have to go back and start over. When is the next program and is it the same?
When is the next? Well, the next program will take you deeper and you'll just get more support and more more help. It's not the same program again. We're not doing the same program again. We're going to go deeper with people who are feeling like I need more help here. I want to go back to the cold part. When you fast, you get cold. This is a known fact. When you fast, you get cold. So if you're introducing intermittent fasting or you're having more, you get cold. When I do a fast, I sit in my sauna like hours and hours a day. I have a sauna where it comes up to here. So I could sit there with a desk and work, but you get cold. It's known. If you go out to Dr. Pompa, somebody asked about Pompa, but if you go to his fasting for a purpose or fasting with a purpose group, people are always talking about that. You do get cold when you're fasting because your metabolic rate is slowing down.
Thank you. Elsie Wong, can you explain the reason behind using 110 as my upper limit if my fasting blood sugar is below 90? Different practitioners recommend different things. Some recommend 120, and that would give me a little more flexibility with having a larger portion of legumes. Can you please explain the additional benefits of that one?
The additional benefits is that is every time it goes over 100, you're getting beta cell damage. When it goes to 120, you're starting to get peripheral nerve damage. The lower, the better. Personally, I try to keep mine below 100. That's my target. I try to keep it below 100. So if your fasting is below 90, you know, that gives you 20 points to play with. And you know, larger portions of legumes and maybe negatively affecting you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Wheaton has a couple questions. She listened to the 21-day recording for the reset, and you mentioned adding chromium to bring down blood sugar as a response to an accidental or intentional eating. How much is okay, and is this something we can fall back on for years to come? And I'm concerned about studies cited about large doses of chromium causing cancer in animal models.
Most of the chromium issue, most of the studies that talk about it, it's chromium picolinate, not polynicotinate. Okay, so it's a different form of chromium, and yeah, it can create stress on the liver. On a regular basis, no, it's not something you want to fall back on. I think if you have an accidental exposure, and I personally, when I came back from a run and my blood sugar was 130, I just took a handful. I think I took 800 all at the same time. I do this wacky thing where I test myself and I hold my stuff up to me and I ask my body if it needs it and I ask how much it needs. And I said, do I need more than, this just said yes. Do I need more than one? Yes. Do I need more than two? No. So I need two. So I would take two. And that's how I do it with my, when I'm coming back from a run, and I'll go through a bunch of different things and say, what do I need? And my body will say either the chromium, or I have a glucose from, I think it's from Pure Encapsulations. It's a glucose lowering combination formula, and sometimes my body wants one and sometimes it wants the other. So I think you can safely periodically, if you have an exposure, probably do an extra 400 milligrams or micrograms, sorry, not milligrams, so micrograms of chromium, but don't do it on a regular basis. You know, stick with the 800. The 800 is what's been tested. Unless you've been diabetic a long time, you can go up to 1200. Studies have shown that. One of the supplements I am really careful about is vanadium. So if you're having some issues and you just can't get that glucose down, 28 days of vanadium supplementation can be super, super helpful, but you don't want to go much more than that because of the liver. Now, I'm not talking tiny bits of vanadium in a combination formula. I'm talking like vanadium as a single supplement.
Thank you. One more from Wheaton is about what's prefer a 30 second burst or 2 minute burst repeated within a short time. I'm reading 60 seconds as the maximum per burst, but also reading that we can have a 2 minutes of burst from the handbook.
Yeah. So I would say I like the 30 seconds to 45 to a minute, whatever. You get to the point where you go, I'm done. I can't go anymore. And if that's between 30 and 60 seconds, that's good. The 2 minutes we kind of recommend is just the beginning of the day and the end of the day. Just it's not as intense of a burst, but it can help to start the day with burning some of the sugar in the blood. So for bursts throughout the day or bursts as part of your, like if you're doing a run or a walk and you do the intense right in there, 30 seconds to a minute. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. from Kate Thomas. It's just a love note. Dr. Reed Marie, I love your teaching style and language, all your lists and documents. You are the guide that I need to refresh and fill my brain in all ways.
Aww, thank you, Kate.
Edie, did we receive the kimchi recipe from Summer, and where is it, if so? And she wants to know, is there a centralized place where bonuses are located?
That's a question for Summer, because she was working on all the, I thought she said she sent it. I asked her the other day.
I did bring this up to her because someone asked about it last week. She said it was on her list. So yeah.
Okay. Got it. So she
it's definitely in her awareness, guys. Like we're just,
It'll come. You know, in the meantime, there's a great book by Suzanne Bennett, Dr. Suzanne Bennett, and it's called The Kimchi Diet. And she has a ton of kimchi. There's no videos in there, but she's got a ton of kimchi recipes. My husband's been using it lately. He's been like Mr. Domesticated since this whole stay-at-home thing. And he's been making kimchi, and he made me pizza. He's making desserts. I mean, I told him I've been wanting to fast for the last 3 months. I usually fast once a month for 5 days, and I haven't done it since early January. And I told him yesterday it was his fault because he just keeps filling the refrigerator with all this amazing smoothies and desserts and kimchi. And I'm like, I don't want to fast. I just want to eat this great food. Yeah, The Kimchi Diet, Suzanne Bennett, really good book. I if you go to my Facebook page, and I don't know how to find things in archives on Facebook, but if you know, it was actually, I interviewed her, and it might be on Unstoppable Health. Maybe we can make that a unit. Like, do we have it in a probiotic unit? I think we do. I think you might have done that. So. Unstoppable Health, where there's this thing called units. But anyway, if you know how to search Facebook, I interviewed her about a year ago when her book first came out. It was a really good talk.
Excellent. All right, from Vanessa. So this is a little coaching moment. Vanessa feels like she fell off the wagon because she started working one of her clients in the last 2 weeks, and she feels really discouraged. So Vanessa, we would love to bring you on to get some coaching. If you'd like to come.
It's so easy to fall off the wagon, and it's so much harder to get on. And I think I'm talking to you. I'm looking at my calendar. I'm talking to you next week, I think.
We were supposed to talk Friday, but one of my clients has a full day event I have to attend. So your next availability was June, unless you have another earlier time.
Text me. Personally, okay. And I'll get you on sooner than that. I'll find one of my reserved times to give you, because I want to get you sooner. I don't want you to wait till June.
So I left off in this sweet spot with, I am taking all my supplements consistently.
Okay.
I had a beautiful spring break a couple weeks ago, and I took off some time from one of my stressful clients, and it was just awesome. Like, I could be giving attention to my health and sleeping. That was the biggest thing, like sleeping. Yeah. And then I noticed once I picked them back up the following week, my sleep got interrupted, and it just seems like to create a spiral with everything else where, I mean, I'm not going berserk. I'm definitely not like eating all the carbs or bread or anything like that I would like to. So I have, like, you know, some discipline there. But I'm not doing the fasting as well. And I'm definitely not staying up to date on my pricking of my finger for the blood sugar monitoring. And so maybe just some encouragement of, you know, where do I, at least, you know, I am on the supplements. I know what to do. And what's like a good first step to feel like I'm getting back on the bandwagon and get some wins to progress forward?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And, you know, I want to bring you back to, is it just this one client or is it multiple clients?
It's the one in particular that's stressful. That's stressful. And I'm working with them to get some better boundaries and not working evening calls and stuff like that. But as you know, you've known me long enough, there is a tiny fear that I have that I can just recreate it very easily.
Yeah.
So I need to, the evening hours is most disruptive, but that has pared back and the chaos of how they run their company, but they are working with me to make it better, but I just find I just got off my routine. I still am walking. Yeah, I walked 10 miles a couple days ago.
Whoa.
I walked almost four yesterday. So I still walk pretty consistently.
Yeah.
But I'm back on coffee, right? Because I wake up tired.
Yeah.
Which then I do a bulletproof kind of a thing in the morning, which, you know, normally I would fast.
Normally you would fast. So there's a bunch of stuff here, Vanessa.
The sleep gets it's the main thing, because I could just sleep a lot more during my spring break. And it just felt like my whole, my whole nervous system, even my cravings, everything is more calm when I'm more rested.
Absolutely. So there's a number of things here. Number one is it's sometimes okay to fire a client. And you can look into, is there somebody you can replace that with, right? Is there somebody else that you love to work with that may need more hours with you, or someone that you're going to attract by, you know, letting go of that energy? We really shouldn't be working with people who stress us out, right? I've done that. You know, and I'm not going to work with that. I had somebody recently who I said that about. They offered me $50,000 to take them on privately and work with them. I said, I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it because of the stress they cause in my body. And it's not a reflection on them. It's a reflection on the relationship, but it's also, you get to choose, right? So that's one part of it, right? If they aren't respecting those boundaries, you respect your own boundaries enough, right? So the energy, it's draining your energy. You're not sleeping well enough. It's causing your cortisol to go up, which will cause your glucose to go up, which will cause your insulin to go up, which will cause you to gain weight, right? And then feel exhausted. And then you start the whole thing over again, right? So the coffee then, you know, it's in your system, depending on whether you're a slow or a fast metabolizer. I haven't looked at your genes yet to know that, but if you're a slow metabolizer, you can have a cup of coffee in the morning and it's going to affect your sleep at night, right? So maybe, okay, so you try to get yourself from the, I'm going to have coffee in the morning, bulletproof kind of coffee in the morning, and then I'm going to, you know, to fasting. So what if you were to, instead of the coffee, make yourself a cordyceps cacao shake, a lot less caffeine, more of that, oh my God, I'm going to bring up my stamina. And you can still put the coconut milk and whatever else in it. And then you can slowly move that later, not giving it up. But you can say, okay, I'm going to have this first thing in the morning because I'm exhausted. Let me have this. Let me have some chia seeds along with it, right? Maybe that breakfast, a really good hearty first breakfast. And then you can say, oh, this is working. Let me just move it a little later. Let me see if the fasting will work. Let me move it a little later, right? So just like giving yourself permission to not be perfect. I think you're a perfectionist. Recovering perfectionist or an active perfectionist, one or the other, but you want to do it right. When you can't do it right, you say, screw it, and you give up and you don't do it. Although I am excited that you didn't go all the way back. Right? So start with the three meals a day. Have your beverage in the morning that's your adrenal balancing type breakfast in the morning. You know you have a tendency to go into adrenal crash. Right? Have that in the morning. A lot of people with adrenal stuff need to have that something first thing in the morning, and then have, you know, a decent lunch and then a decent dinner. But that I think is going to help a lot. And just really, really going back to, why are you here in the first place? What do you want most? And I think what I get from you is that you want balance in your life. You want to have time with your kids. You want to be able to just feel good in your body, get back to your like slim, trim, gorgeous body shape. Not that you're not gorgeous right now, but just that's, I'm just reading your mind and your thoughts at this point. And if somebody's getting in the way or something's getting in the way, it needs to be taken out. And that's a big stress in your cortisol levels. And you know this, but sometimes you just need to hear it.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm write it down to reach out to you. But even if you put a note in that biochanic thing, just put a note in there that says reminder, please look up your schedule and give me an earlier date and I'll find something for you. Okay. Yeah. I want to get going. All right. I hope that was helpful. Yeah.
I think it was helpful for a lot of us. I'm seeing the chat. So awesome. Real quickly, a lot of people were asking to mention that veggie bread you referenced earlier. What's the brand, please?
This one is, it looks like chocolate, Chocola, Chocola tree.
Chocola.
Okay, tree. And you just go to their website and you can order the stuff online, and it's wonderful stuff. It's amazing. And it's got a little flexibility, so you can make it, use it like a burrito wrap. There's also, you can make the burritos. Those of you who have the metabolic meal prep kind of thing, we have recipes in there for different kinds of breads and wraps that you can do. And there's recipes in the guide.
Mm-hmm. And collard greens, collard green rolls.
Great wrap. They just don't give you that same, if you're really craving bread, collard green wrap just doesn't hit the mark. I mean, it's a good, but it doesn't hit the mark like one of these bread things. So what I did a few months ago when I did a pizza class, I made a whole bunch of crusts and I stuck them in my freezer, and I can pull them out and I can make a pizza whenever I want to. A while ago, when was that? Was that like just last month when I did the wraps thing? I did a whole show on the Vital Community on wraps, and I just made a bunch and stuck them in the freezer, and I pull them out and I can have it when I'm like, and the other thing is cauliflower foods, C-A-L-I, and it has a dash, flour, F-L-O-U-R. And they make these, this is what my husband used yesterday, cauliflower pizza crust. And it's like cauliflower and sesame seeds and some coconut oil. And they make these amazing crusts. And one day I was in that mode of wanting bread. I was in that mode. I wanted bread. And I went, oh, I have those crusts. And I pulled one out of the freezer and I defrosted it and I cut it in half and I took half of it. And I made it like a wrap and I ate it. And one day I just cut it and ate it as pieces of bread, and it made it really good. You can stick it in the oven for like 10 minutes and it crisps it if you want, like toast. But it's a great thing to have around, not to like overdo it on a regular basis. But when those cravings hit, you know, the easiest thing is to satisfy them in the moment with something that's not going to hurt. It really is the whole thing we talked about last time. I know a bunch of you signed up for Laura Fine's workshop on Saturday, where she's going to go deeper with the work on the whole self-sabotage thing. And what is it that we're, why are we self-sabotaging? Sometimes you go 22 days and there's some little something. You don't deserve this. Just blow it right now. Go have that bread. You need that bread. You really deserve that bread. You know, there's all these voices that come in our heads. And it's, Angelica's laughing because I'm reading your...
I can relate.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There is definitely an energetic story behind our resistance to change, even when the change is good for us.
When the change is good.
Woo. Okay. Janina, please let me know if I'm saying it right. Before I started metabolic reset, I started high dosing vitamin C and I'm still doing it. Could this be interfering with my metabolic reset?
I can't imagine that it can interfere. Like, in what way interfere? What does that mean? Are your glucose levels higher? I know that on this guy, I can't take high levels of vitamin C if I'm on the Freestyle Libre, because it does interfere. And there may be some other meters where it will interfere with the levels. There's a particular reagent that's used, and I don't remember off the top of my head what it is. But I had a freak out one day when I'm like, why did my blood sugar just go up to 140, 150? All I had was lettuce and avocado. This is insane. And then I started looking, and I was in the sauna. So I'm like, oh, maybe it's the thing. Then I measured it on another, on my finger prick, and it was totally different. And I realized, oh, wonder what it was. I went back through my day and I went, oh, I just had like 4 grams of vitamin C because I was exposed to somebody who had a cold and I didn't want to get it. And so it can interfere. So I don't know with the different, I know it doesn't seem to do it with the Keto Mojo, as far as I could tell. But that's the only way I can know of, that it may not be affecting it. It may be, I would get another meter to cross-check it.
Okay. A few people, June, Federica, Prem, are interested in an ebook on adrenals that you seem to have mentioned earlier in the program on a Facebook Live. Do you know what they're talking about? What they're referencing?
I think, let me see, was it a bonus that we offered?
Someone said in the chat it was mentioned on a live. I don't think it was a bonus.
Let me look. Okay, so adrenal. I think I have one called Adrenal Recharge. .com. And I may have been giving out that link. I'm going to see if that's still there. Adrenal Recharge. Their domain name is close to expiring. What? I don't want to sell it, but I had it. Wow. This webpage is park free. No, www.adrenalrecharge.com. I used to have a page there. Adrenalrecharge.com, site not available. That's weird. Let me look in here. I'll give you a link directly to the page where we have it set up. I might have been mentioning it on a live. Was it a Sweet Spot live or just a general Facebook live? Let's see. Maybe it was a Facebook post. Okay, so here we go. Summit, adrenal. Elixirs. I know there's the elixirs, the hormoneelixirs.com, which has a bunch of different recipes optimizing liver. Whatever happened to my adrenal one? Summit elixirs, adrenal recipes. Here we go. Let me see if that's it. Bonus recipe guide. No, that's something different. Was it recipes? Was it recipes I was talking about?
Everyone just mentioned this adrenal ebook. I don't know if it was a recipe guide or,
I don't know. I remember where I mentioned it. The one that I thought it was www.adrenalrecharge.com, which used to go to a little book and I think a little video as well. Let me see if I can find it again. I have a whole section of adrenal gifts. I have so many like free giveaway things. Adrenal, funnel, sweet spot programs. Okay, let's see if it's in here. Nope. Okay, here we go. Adrenal fatigue resource kit. Maybe this is it. Let's see what's on it. Yeah, okay, let me give you the link to this. Here. It's hard to say because it's a click funnel. Oh yeah, this might be what I was talking about. Here, I'm going to put the link in the chat. There we go. Click on that link or copy paste it.
Okay.
What? Oh, the physical recipe book. Those should be sent out now, right?
According to our system, our record, yes, like that was completed and that order has been placed. So it's just a question of has the company shipped the book out? So,
you know, I'm finding that everything takes longer. Even Amazon Today takes longer these days to get here. My son said, I sent you a Mother's Day card last Wednesday. You haven't gotten it yet? I haven't gotten it yet. So I think, you know, we can blame the post office or whatever the powers that be, but let's look into that and make sure that those have actually, that Vervante has actually shipped them. Because there were a bunch of you that ordered them. Okay.
Violetta, what are the symptoms of insulin resistance? I feel that we already sort of know, but maybe a refresher.
Go to the first week.
Hi. This is Tiffany. I got my book. I love it. It makes this so much easier. Thank you.
Oh, good. So you did get it. So it may be just...
I got it last Friday. Yeah, I got it last Friday. So, and I was delighted. And it just, I can do it so much easier. So great. I've got all kinds of recipes picked out and I'm ready to go. So thank you.
What state are you in?
Washington.
Washington,
the state of Washington.
So maybe the West Coast got it quicker because the shipper is on the West, and maybe the East people. We'll get it less. We'll check your box. It should be coming any day.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Tiffany, for that info. For that other, look at that. Okay. Look at that link that I just put in there, and that'll give you the adrenal thing that we were talking about. I think there's also a video that goes with it. Okay.
So we just have a little bit more time. So we'll have a few more questions and everything else. We will address it later, Facebook Live or something. Federica, my blood sugar is around 100 at night and 86 in the morning. Is that decrease okay?
100 at night, 86. That's great. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. From Wendy Jensen, I have to get up to go to the bathroom at night at least twice instead of my usual, which is one time. Is that normal during the reset?
You might be drinking more. And also, if that could be a good sign that your body's shifting into ketosis, because you're going to be burning more fat, and fat contains water, and you're going to pee more when you're burning more fat.
Great. From Anya, how much almond stuff is going to increase my omega-6s, i.e., can I be using almond flour and almond butter?
Depends on how often. And are you also doing chia and hemp and flax and some other things to balance it out? In the advanced piece, we have a spreadsheet that you can actually track. You know, we were doing this in the regular program. This time we decided to cut the investment down so that you can more easily afford it. But we took out some of the stuff that was, you know, confusing people. And so they're like, I can't do this and I can't do that. And we were taking away from the being able to focus on the program. So here's what the way you find out: Chronometer. You don't need my spreadsheet. Chronometer is actually better. You go to Chronometer and you type in your stuff in Chronometer, and it will tell you exactly what your ratio of 6 to 3 is and if it's out of balance. Yeah, Chronometer. Yay.
All righty. Debbie, I'm having a heck of a time still sticking my finger and getting enough blood. She says she's gone up to the highest setting. It's hurting. She's putting her hand in her hot water, opening, closing her fist, pumping it. She says, I know I'm not supposed to squeeze the finger, but can't get blood. Any suggestions?
Well, you know, all those things you mentioned are good. What I do instead of, you can squeeze the finger, but not pump it, not milk it. Okay. So if you go to take your blood sugar, let me see, I have a meter. Here we go. Okay. So you start out, you rub your hands together, you get them nice and warm. And then you can just kind of go like that before you actually do it, just to push blood to the, and you, I don't know if you can see it, but now my fingertip is kind of red. So I click the thing. Okay. And then I'm going to hold a finger right there to push the blood towards the edge. So your thumb pressing against your finger. Do you see how I'm doing that? And then hold it firmly, press it, and then one squeeze like that, and I got plenty of blood. So try it that way. Try to actually, you know, I didn't need to do that because I could get plenty of blood without it. Let me grab a tissue. I have a tissue here. Let me grab a tissue real quick. Looking for on my desk to get it. Ah, here we go. I knew I had some here. They were just at the other end. Okay. So see if that helps. The other thing is, see if you can get yourself a ketoma. Is this Debbie Silver? Yeah. Write yourself a prescription, or get one of your friends to write yourself a prescription for this, for the Freestyle Libre. Or I'll tell you a way to do it. Write a prescription for one of your family members and then steal it from them when it comes. Right. Yeah. So I think that's going to make all the difference in the world. And also the Genteel. The other one is the Genteel, so it won't hurt so much. And it actually has this little suction that it creates. And you can also try it at different spots. With the Genteel, you can actually, with the way that it's set up, you can actually do it at the end of your finger. I mean, the end of here, you can do it on your thigh, your foot, etc. Okay.
Thank you. All right, so we've come to the 75-minute mark for the call. Dr. Rita Marie, do you want to close out with anything in particular?
Yeah, so I want to collect all those. And if you can just take whatever's left over and just put it in a separate doc, that way I can have one dated for each date. I get confused easily. So I want to make sure I'm like looking going, are these questions answered or not? So if we're all in one thing, I'll go through it if I have time in the evening, or, you know, Wednesdays are generally a little bit lighter days for me in terms of meetings. I'll either just record it and put it on the site, or I'll do it as a Facebook Live and then we'll move it to the site. I want to just look at it and see if there's some specific questions that are, you know, a lot. I addressed a bunch of it at the beginning of today's call. When I see people having similar questions, I know there's a misunderstanding. Focus on letting go of perfection, right? This is one of the things that gets us in trouble, is when we're so obsessed with getting everything right that we end up creating this sympathetic dominant situation in the body. I believe that sympathetic dominance, the sympathetic nervous system overriding the parasympathetic, is what causes most diseases. And we really want to access the healing power of your vagus nerve. Wonderful book, Access the Healing Power of Your Vagus Nerve. We want to, that's why we're coming in with your heart math. That's where we're coming in with your appreciation before meals. It accesses the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve helps facilitate the parasympathetic and all of the wonderfulness from it, right? So feel yourself, if you're going through and you feel yourself getting stressed, go, okay, all is well. I'm doing my best, right? I'm doing my best. It doesn't have to be perfect. Okay. And then we'll look as we get through the metabolic reset transition. We'll determine, are you ready for it? I read a lot of that, put all the, not just the questions, but the comments as well. If there's maybe a separate section, just because I love to read the success story pieces as well. Like, oh my God, I'm having so much success. You're all unique. You're all a little bit different. Let go of the need to be perfect and to win the race. Like, there's no race as to who loses the most weight, who drops their sugar the most. We're not having a contest here. We're just having you do what you need to do. And there may be some other hidden sources of imbalance that we just need to look at and uncover. And we'll be going through that in the next few weeks. Okay. How is everybody liking those messages, the daily messages? Yes? Good. Good. All right. I loved making those messages. I love listening back to them. I think it's not, I'm not putting pressure on you. Just giving you the, you know, that we just need to love on our bodies more. We don't learn that growing up. We learn to be critical because people are critical of us. We just need to love on ourselves more. And loving on yourself and doing this kind of thing on a regular basis stimulates oxytocin. And oxytocin opposes cortisol. So sometimes just getting some hugs, and you know we've been kind of cooped up and not getting as many hugs, but give it to yourself, right? Just give it to yourself. Massage your arms, hold your hands over your heart. That's going to stimulate good hormone balance, right? More oxytocin, less cortisol. The less cortisol, the better in terms of, you know, when we hyperreact. It's not saying, you know, we want cortisol to go away. It's critical, right? Then you're exhausted. So it's just giving yourself permission. Give yourself permission. Love on yourself. Congratulations for how far you've made it. And we're going to focus on some improvements. We're going to have you redo some assessments and see where you're at the end of the metabolic reset. All right. So thank you. I'm going to unmute you all. I'd love to just throw out a word, anything that comes to your mind that you want to say. Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Rita Marie. Bye.
Now I have about 10 minutes to go have my grab the smoothie. I don't want to wait till 6 o'clock tonight. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm turning it down a bit.